Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear a new play based on Charles Dickens' famous classic, A Christmas Carol, and written by English Dickens expert Eric Jones Evans. The play is Scrooge the Miser, and stars in the title role John Alden. Your producer, Craig Jenkinson. The Caltex Theatre presents Scrooge the Miser, Act One.
Oh, so cold in here, so bitterly cold. What a Christmas present it would be if he'd have a decent fire just this one day of the year. Oh, well.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge!
Oh, Mr. Scrooge!
Oh. Get out of the way, you brat!
Oh, I'd better get back to work.
Get out of the way! I want no Christmas carols! Now be off with you! Yeah. Humbug. The whole thing's humbug, I say. Well, Bob Cratchit, what's this I see?
Pardon, Mr. Scrooge?
As soon as I leave the office, you put more coals on the fire.
Well, yes, I did, sir, but only a few.
6 new coals, I can count. You call that a few?
Well, I'm afraid I was feeling very cold, sir.
Yeah, I can see we shall have to part. You'll ruin me in coals.
Ruin you, sir? It's a very small fire, and on a night like this...
You could have warmed yourself with a candle if you were cold.
Well, I tried to do so, sir, but not being a man of strong imagination, I failed, so I took the liberty of adding the coals.
Liberty? You're always taking liberties. However, I heard the outer door closing. Go and see who's in the outer office.
Yes, sir, at once.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bob. Is my uncle in?
Yes, Mr. Page. Come this way, sir. Cold, biting weather, isn't it?
Yes, but seasonable for Christmas.
Your nephew, Mr. Fred, to see you, sir.
Well?
I just called in to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, humbug.
Oh, Uncle, you don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry, Tell me now, what reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come, Uncle, what reason have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug.
Oh, don't be so cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas to you but a time for paying debts with no money and for becoming a year older and not one penny the richer?
But, Uncle...
Hold your tongue, sir. Now, if I had my way, every fool who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled. Yes, boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Oh, now, really?
Yes, he should. You'll keep Christmas your way if you must, and leave me to keep it in mine.
Keep it? But that's the trouble. You don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good has it ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited. Christmas among the rest. But I'm sure I've always thought of Christmas as a good time. A kind of forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their hearts freely. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And so I say, God bless it.
Here, here, Mr. Fred, here, here.
Let me hear another sound from you, Cratchit, and you keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
I'm sorry, sir.
And you, my dear nephew, you're such a powerful speaker, aren't you? I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Oh, please don't be angry with me, Uncle. Now, I'll tell you what to do. Come and dine with us tomorrow.
Answer your damn first.
Why, Uncle, why?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good evening.
But you've never come to see and... Well, I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. I would just like us to be friends.
Good evening.
Well, I'm sorry, with all my heart, to find you so resolute. We've never had any quarrel to which I've been a party, but... Anyway, I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So once more, a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Get out.
And a Happy New Year.
Out!
Very well. A Merry Christmas to you and your family above.
Thank you, sir. And the same to you and Mrs. Fred.
Thanks. Oh, how's your youngest child, Tiny Tim, getting on?
Oh, growing strong and hearty, thank you, sir. He seems to get better every day.
Oh, that is good news. He'll soon be walking without his crutch, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, I hope so, sir. I do indeed. I'll see you out, sir. And a very Merry Christmas to you.
There's another fool. Cratchit, with 15 shillings a week and a wife and a large family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam.
Excuse me, sir, but there's a gentleman to see you.
Well, yes, yes, yes. Who is it?
Well, he didn't give his name, sir.
Very well, then show him in.
Yes, sir. This way, sir, if you please.
Good evening, sir. I hope I'm not intruding.
You wish to see me?
Yes. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Scrooge, sir. Mr. Marley's dead. He died, in fact, 7 years ago on this very night.
Indeed. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, you needn't be. He left me his sole executor, his sole residuary legatee, and his sole mourner.
I see. Well, I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner. Allow me to present my credentials, Mr. Scrooge.
Liberality, credentials. I don't understand you, sir.
At this festive season of the year, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute, who suffer greatly at this present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Of course, far too many prisons, but...
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
Unfortunately, yes. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Good. I was afraid from what you'd said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. Very glad to hear it. Very glad indeed.
Yes. Well, under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude... A few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We chose this time because it is a time of all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. So, sir, what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you asked me what I wish, that's my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make either people merry. I help support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, too, I might tell you. And those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Now, good evening, sir.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry to have taken up your time, Mr. Scrooge. Pray accept my apologies. Good evening. A happy Christmas to you.
Humbug.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Scrooge, sir, I'll be on my way home now.
Home?
Yes, sir. It's 9 o'clock, just striking.
The church clock's fast. By my watch, it's 5 minutes to 9 p.m. My watch is never wrong. I can only repeat what I told you the other day, Cratchit. I don't pay you 15 shillings to leave before your time.
No, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
I suppose you'll want all day tomorrow off.
If it's convenient, sir.
It is not convenient, and it's not fair. If I were to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used. I'll be bound. You don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
Well, Christmas Day comes only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Well, I suppose you must have it. But be here all the earlier the following morning.
Oh, yes, sir, I will. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. By the way, you completed that special invoice?
No, not quite, sir.
Then you'll come here tomorrow morning and finish it.
Tomorrow's Christmas Day?
Yes, Christmas Day. Be here at 8 o'clock sharp.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir. A Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Scrooge.
Shut the door.
Yes, sir.
And the outer door.
Very well, sir.
Idiots, all of them. Raving idiots. Christmas nonsense should be stamped out. Makes me tired, the whole thing. Infernally tired. Comfortable chair, bit of fire. The world mightn't seem such a silly place. Comfort. A little warmth. These coals should last the night. Yes, a little warmth. And a nice leisurely study of one's bank book. If only those fools celebrated their Christmas in the same way, they'd have something to show for their time. Figures, additions, making thousands and hundreds of thousands. For anyone with some sense. Surely can't be a prettier sight in all the world than the pages of a successful bank book. What's that, I say?
Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Merciful God. For you.
What do you want with me?
Don't you recognize me, Ebenezer?
You? You're the ghost of my partner, Jacob Marley.
How kind of you not to forget my face, Ebenezer.
The ghost? No. No, there's no such thing as a ghost. Yet, great heavens.
Yes, Ebenezer, you believe in ghosts?
I must, because you are here. I can see you.
As you say, you can see me.
But why? Why do spirits walk the earth? Why do you come to see me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad amongst his fellow men and travel far and wide. If that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. Doomed to wander through the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness.
Jacob, you're fettered, chained. Why is that?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. Is its pattern strange to you? A chain of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, and ledgers. Is it strange, Ebenezer? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full and heavy as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. Oh, it's a ponderous chain we wear.
Oh, Jacob. Jacob, I beg you. Jacob, speak comfort to me.
I have none to give. It comes from other regions and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men.
What are you saying? There is no hope for me. Is that what you mean?
Like me, Ebenezer, you're a captive bound in double iron. In life, my spirit never walked beyond this counting house, never roved beyond the narrow limits of this money-changing hole. Oh, not to realize that no space of regret can make amends for life's opportunities misused.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? I should have realized mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. Why did I pass my fellow beings in life with eyes turned down? Never raised them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode. Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me?
Then if you cannot offer comfort to me, Jacob, why have you come to haunt me?
I come to warn you.
Warn?
to tell you that you have yet a chance to escape the fate that has been mine. I come to show you visions of a Christmas past, a Christmas present, and a Christmas yet to come. Behold, Ebenezer. Look closely and tell me what you see.
I see a deserted schoolroom and a lonely boy seated at a desk.
Do you recognize the boy?
Yes, I do. It's myself, my long-forgotten self as I once used to be. Alone, always alone, when the other boys had gone home for their Christmas holidays, I was neglected. How I wish you...
It's too late now.
What do you wish?
Seeing myself like this and remembering how I used to feel.
There were some children singing carols outside my door tonight. I
should have liked to have given them something, that's all.
Ah, yes. And now, look again, Ebenezer. Who comes into your vision now?
Why, that's my sister Fanny, dearest Fanny. The only one who ever really cared for me.
Your sister was always delicate, was she not?
Yes, that's true.
She grew up to womanhood and married, and then, alas, died soon after the birth of her first child. Your nephew, Frederick.
Yes, Frederick. Strange. He called on me tonight to wish me a Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas? Out upon Merry Christmas. What is Christmas but a time for paying debts with no money, for becoming a year older and not one penny richer?
You were here then. You heard me.
Shall I repeat everything else you said tonight? Everything else you said every day and night over the last 7 years?
No, don't. Please, don't. I can see now. I was wrong, Jacob, so wrong. No, please don't recall the other words.
Then look again. There now, you see. Look upon her whom you once loved before avarice and gain displaced her in your heart. Look. And hear her too.
Elsa.
Our parting will mean little to you, Ebenezer. Yes, very little. I know you have never sought in words to be released from our engagement, but I have seen your nature slowly changing from day to day, your nobler ambitions falling off one by one, until at last the greed for wealth alone engrosses you. All that made my love of any worth in your sight has now been displaced by your love of gold. When you first declared your love for me, we were both poor and were content to be so. But now all that has changed. Were you to marry me, a girl whose only fortune is her wealth of love for you, you would regret it bitterly. Oh, yes, you would. And so I give you your freedom. May you be happy, Ebenezer. Very happy in the life you have chosen. Goodbye, Ebenezer. Goodbye.
It's true, all of it. I cast her aside in my lust for money. And what has the money brought me? Nothing. I can see the error of my choice only too well now. Now when it's too late.
What you have seen are shadows of the past, your long-forgotten past. And now you shall behold a Christmas of the present. You shall see how your clerk, Bob Cratchit, spends his Christmas day. How much do you pay him, Ebenezer?
I pay him 50 shillings a week.
15 shillings? Yes, well, may you look like that. Every Saturday you give that man who serves you so faithfully only 15 shillings with which to provide the bare necessities for his wife, his children, and himself.
I don't suppose that provides much at all. I know it wouldn't provide enough for them.
They've saved their pennies carefully throughout the year to buy a goose for their Christmas dinner tomorrow, Ebenezer. This is the one meal of the year when they eat reasonably well. The rest of the time, well, and you should be able to imagine.
Yes, yes, I think I can.
But now, tomorrow's dinner. Look at them, Ebenezer. Look carefully.
I've mashed the potatoes, Mother. They're all ready.
Good boy, Peter. Just give the applesauce a stir. There's it here.
Yes, all right, Mother.
Mother, the goose. The goose.
Why, whatever's the matter, Mary?
The goose, Mother. Our goose. It's not 3 houses away.
Did you, darling? And how did you know it was ours?
By the smell, Mother. Nobody else's goose could smell as beautiful as that.
Well, let's hope it tastes as good as it smells.
There'll soon be time to go and fetch it, won't it, Mother?
Yes, dear. Very soon now. But whatever's happened to your father, I wonder? And Tiny Tim, where's he? And Martha, she wasn't as late last Christmas Day by 30 minutes.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Oh, there she is. Here's Martha.
Hurrah, hurrah. Here's Martha.
Hello, Mother.
I was just wondering what had happened to you, Martha, dear.
With a deal of work to finish up last night, we had to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind, so long as you're here now. That's the main thing. Here, sit before the fire, dear, and have a warm kiss you.
Oh, Mother, I just saw Father pass the window. Oh, quickly, Martha, hide. Let him think you're not here.
Yes, hide, Mother. Hide. Under the table.
All right. Oh, you shouldn't tease your father so.
Shh, shh. Here he comes.
Here we are at last. Down you go, Tiny Tim. Ah. Merry Christmas,
Merry
Father.
Father.
And a Merry Christmas right back to you.
I might have known you'd be waiting along the street for your father to carry you home on his shoulders, Tim.
My father's the strongest man in the street. The way he swings me up on his shoulders so easily. Well, he is.
Of course he is, darling. And you come over here by the fire and warm yourself. Oh, take your hat and coat off, Robert. Sit down by the fire. Dinner won't be long.
Yes, it's good to be in the warmth again. Oh, where's Martha? Isn't she here?
Oh, Martha's not coming today, Father.
Not coming? On Christmas Day? Oh. Well, Now, what's going on here?
Here I am, Father. It was only a joke.
Oh, Martha, love.
Hello.
Oh, and a good joke it was, too. And I'm so glad to see you, child. Christmas wouldn't be the same without you.
Indeed, it would not. Now, who's going to fetch the goose from next door's oven?
Oh, I will, Mother.
And me. I want to fetch it, too.
Come on, then.
May I go, too, Mother?
Of course, Tim, darling.
Take my hand, Timmy, and we'll go together. Come on, but look where you're going. Walk carefully.
Yes. I'm all right.
Oh, we're lucky to have such children, indeed we are. I meant to ask you, Robert, how did Tim behave in church early this morning?
Oh, as good as gold and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much and thinks the strangest things you ever heard.
Oh?
You know, he told me when we were coming home from the church that he hoped the people saw him there because he's a cripple. And it might be pleasant to them to remember on Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, did he really say that?
Yes, my dear. It almost seemed as if... But there, he's growing stronger every day, isn't he? You see that, don't you? Don't you, dear?
Yes. Yes, Bob. I see it. Oh, yes, of course.
Here it is, the most magnificent goose in England.
Oh, smell that aroma. Look at it now, that's what I call a goose. Now, is everybody ready?
Oh, are we ready?
Is everybody hungry? Then take your seats, ladies and gentlemen. The feast is about to begin. Hooray!
Why, they've vanished, Jacob. Please show me more.
More, Ebenezer? But what interest have you in them? They're poor, their clothes are patched and darned, their pleasures so simple and humble.
But they're so happy, grateful, so pleased with one another and contented with the good time they're having. Oh, no, I beg you, let me see them once again.
Very well, Ebenezer. You may see them again.
Well, here we are. Oh. You all enjoyed the goose. Now you can all enjoy the pudding. I hope it'll be all right.
It looks a wonderful pudding, my dear, wonderful. But before we partake of it, I suggest a toast.
Oh, yes, a toast.
And my toast is a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Jacob?
Yes, Ebenezer?
Tell me if this lad Tim will live.
If the shadows you saw remain unaltered by the future, the child shall die.
No. Oh, no, Jacob, that mustn't happen.
Why are you so concerned about him? If he has to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
No, no, please, not those words. No, don't say them back to me.
Your own words, were they not? Oh, Ebenezer, if you're a man in heart, not adamant, recall your words before it is too late. Have you discovered what the surplus is and where it is? Will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? There's still time left for you to reconsider your life. Ebenezer, just one last chance. You must grasp that chance as a drowning man would grasp at a straw, for you're drowning and this remaining chance is no more solid than the straw at present. But you can make it stronger. Oh, yes, you can. Accept the chance and save your soul, Ebenezer. Save your soul.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, Scrooge the Miser. In a moment, we commence Act Two. The Caltex Theatre now presents John Alden in Scrooge the Miser. Act Two.
Well, Ebenezer, what of this one remaining chance you have? Do you accept it?
I want to, Jacob, but I'm still not quite certain how I should go about it. Show me more of the Cratchit family.
I thought you'd have seen enough of them by now.
No, not nearly enough.
Then you shall have one more. Look.
Oh, a beautiful pudding, my dear. Remarkably beautiful. The greatest success you've achieved in all your years of cooking successful meals, if I may say so.
Why, thank you, Robert.
Yes, indeed. And now, my dears, another toast. I ask you to drink with me to the health of the founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge.
What? The founder of the feast? Well, I wish I had the founder of the feast here, that's all. I'd give him a piece of my mind he'd feast on. And I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
Oh, come now, my dear, the children, Christmas Day.
I'm sure it would be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, now.
And you should know he is, Robert. Nobody should know it better than you.
My dear, I shouldn't have to remind you, of all people, that Christmas Day is a day of charity.
Very well, then. I'll drink his health for your sake, and the day's, but not for his.
Thank you, my dear. Then, here's long life to Mr. Scrooge. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to him.
Mr. Scrooge!
Jacob, did you see that? Bob Cratchit toasted me. They drank my health.
So they did, but I also noticed something else, Ebenezer.
What was that?
That the mention of your name sufficed to cast a gloom upon their happiness.
Oh, yes. So it did, yes. But still, Jacob, they drank to me, God bless them. Yes, they wished me well.
True. Remember that. Remember how they wished you well. And now, Ebenezer, I want you to look at something else. A fleeting glimpse into the future, to a Christmas yet to come. You are about to witness shadows of the things that have not happened.
but will happen in the time before us.
Oh, I fear these more than any I have seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope, somehow or other, to live from now on as a better man, I will take courage to look upon them, and do so with a thankful heart.
Very well. On then through the teeming city streets to the exchange, where wealthy merchants congregate to discuss the latest business of the day.
Yes, it's certainly seasonable for Christmas. You should get some skating in the frost hole.
Yes, well, I don't skate much, you know. Too much to think on. By the way, I suppose you've heard he's dead.
Dead? No. When did it happen?
Last night, I believe.
Well. You know, I thought he'd never die. What's he done with his money?
Lord only knows. Left it to his company, I suppose. He hasn't left it to me. I'm quite sure of that.
Well, it'll be a cheap funeral, I expect.
Yes, sure to be. But upon my soul, I don't know of anybody who'd want to go to it. I don't suppose you care to help make up a party?
No, I wouldn't mind if a decent lunch were provided.
Well, I never wear black and I never eat lunch, but I'm willing to go if you are.
All right, let's talk it over tomorrow, shall we?
By the way, there's one thing you can be certain about.
Huh? What's that?
The devil's got hold of his own at last, eh? Well, till tomorrow then. Goodbye, and a Merry Christmas.
Who were they talking about, Jacob? Was it you?
How could that be, since I am of the past? Have you forgotten that I died 7 years ago this very night?
Of course not, but the...
What you saw then was a vision of the future, of a Christmas yet to come.
But who was this man they spoke of as being dead?
You shall know directly. Look once again into the time that lies ahead, and you may profit by what you see.
Evening, Joe.
Why, rot me if it ain't Mrs. Dilber.
Yes, Joe, it's me. Come to do business with you again.
Have you? What might your business be?
Well, take a look at these first.
Oh, yes. Stolen goods, eh, Mrs. Dilber?
And what if they are? Everyone has a right to take care of themselves, haven't they? He always did.
And who might he be?
Why, in what died last night, to be sure. In what I cleaned ups for.
So you been robbing the corpse, have you?
Well, why not? He won't be the worse for a loss of a few things like these.
That may be true, Mrs. Dilber, but all the same...
Oh, here now. We ain't going to start picking holes in each other's coats, are we?
I should hope not. But stolen goods is stolen goods.
Oh, it weren't no sin taking them from him, Joe. If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old so-and-so, why wasn't he like other people in his lifetime?
Wasn't he?
If he had been, he'd had someone to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying there gasping out his last all alone by himself. It's a judgment on him, that's what it is. Now, how much are you going to give me, Joe?
Let's see. A bunch of business seals, one pencil case, 2 old silver teaspoons, a pair of sugar tongs, and a scarf pin. Oh, well, there you are, Mrs. Dilber. That's what I price them at.
Is that all?
I wouldn't give another sixpence if I was to be boiled for not doing it.
Well, all right, then.
What else have you got?
Yep.
Here. What do you call these, bed curtains?
That's right, bed curtains.
You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
I do, and why not?
Oh, you were born to make your fortune, Mrs. Dilber, and you certainly do it.
I'd be a fool not to take what I can get from a man such as he was, Joe. Here, mind that candle grease, don't drip on them there blankets.
His blankets?
Well, he ain't likely to take coal without him, I dare say.
It's to be hoped he didn't die of nothing catching, Mrs. Dilber.
don't you be afraid of that. I wasn't so fond of his company that I'd hang about his corpse if he had. Oh, yes, and that shirt you're looking at now, you can look at that till you ache and you won't find no holes in it. It's the best he had, and a fine one, too. They'd have wasted it if it hadn't been for me.
What do you call wasting it?
Putting it on him to be buried in. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again.
You did what?
Took it off him. If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it ain't good enough for anything. Just as they come under the body, you know, and anyway, he can't look uglier than he did in that one. So, how much you going to give me for the lot, Joe?
That much, Mrs. Doomer. And it's more than I should. I always give too much to the ladies. It's a weakness of mine. It's the way I ruin myself.
You call this a fortune?
That's your account, Mrs. Doomer. I think you're so lucky to get it.
But then things are worth double this.
Not as stolen goods they ain't. And if you were to ask me for another penny, I'd repent of being so liberal and knock off half a crown.
Ah, all right then, all right. Needs must when the devil drives, I suppose. funny, ain't it, to think he frightened everyone away from him when he was alive to profit when he was dead, eh? Well, good night, Joe. Good night. Good night.
That's enough, Jacob. Show me no more. The case of that unhappy man might be my own. My life tends that way now. Yes, I can see it all. The lonely figure stretched upon that bare, uncurtained bed, plundered, bereft of all his worldly goods, unwatched, unwept, uncared for. Oh, Jacob, is there no tenderness in death? Can you not reveal to me one instance in which it has no terror or remorse for those who look upon it?
I can.
Then show me, Jacob, show me.
To do so, we must return once more to the humble home of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. There you shall see how death may be transformed by simple faith to something sweet.
Which death?
Tim.
No, I don't want to see
it. You see it now.
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
Oh, Mother. It's nothing, Martha, dear. Just a slight cold. I wonder where your father is. It must be near his time to come home.
I don't think I'll read from the book any more tonight. I'd say it was past father's time to come home. But then I think he's walking home a little slower than he used to these last few evenings.
I've known him to walk with Tim upon his shoulders very fast indeed.
Yes, very fast, Mother.
Yes, that's true.
But he was very light to carry, very light. And your father loved him so. It was no trouble. No trouble at all. Oh, here he is now.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Father.
Oh, Bob, how cold you are. Why, your hands are frozen. Come and get warm by the fire.
Thank you, my dear. Oh, nearly finished your sewing, I see. You have been industrious. But I wish this dress you're sewing were in some other colour, not black. However, it'll be finished long before Sunday, won't it?
Yes. You went today, Robert.
Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone, too. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But then you'll see it often enough, I suppose. I promised him I'd walk there on a Sunday.
There, dear. We must all try not to grieve so much.
Yes, you're quite right, of course. There, I'm better now. By the way, you'll never guess who spoke to me today.
Who, Robert?
Mr. Scrooge's nephew.
Oh, did he?
Yes, I met him in the street, and he must have noticed I was looking a little sad, for he stopped to ask what had happened to distress me. When I told him, he said, "I'm sorry to hear of your tragic loss, Mr. Cratchit. Very sorry for you and your good wife." It was nice of him, I thought.
Yes. Yes, very nice.
I didn't know he knew so much about you, my dear.
Hmm? What do you mean, Robert?
That you're such a good wife.
Oh.
Why, everyone knows that, Father.
Well observed, Peter, my boy. I hope they do. And then he said, if I can be of service to you in any way, this is where I live. Be sure and come to me. And he gave me his card.
He seems to be a very kind man.
Oh, yes, very much so. It really seems as if he's actually known our Tim and felt our loss himself.
It's a pity there aren't more like him about. The world would be a better place if there were.
It would indeed. And, you know, I shouldn't be at all surprised if he were to get our Peter a better situation.
Oh, did you hear that, Peter?
Oh, do you really think so, Father?
I do, my boy. And when that time comes and you have to leave us and go out into the world, I'm sure none of us will forget Timmy or what this first great parting has meant to us.
Never, Father.
Yes, we shall always remember him. Always.
I know you will. And that thought makes me happy. Yes, very happy.
Jacob, this has been... it's a great revelation to me. I see now that gentle grief alone survives the passing of a loved one's soul. And that no terror or remorse can hold domination where there is love. Only good memories remain. Yes, Jacob, this has taught me quite a lesson.
It is to be hoped so, Ebenezer. There now remains but one glimpse into the future before I take my leave.
One more? What are you going to reveal to me this time? The name of that dead man, perhaps?
Exactly. The name of that dead man.
I fear to know it, Jacob. And yet I must. Show me. Merciful heaven. What is this you're showing me? Lonely graveyard overrun by grass and weeds. Is this where he lies buried?
It is. A worthy place for him.
Am I to see the name on the headstone?
You are. Draw closer and look at it.
Before I do, answer me one question, Jacob. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or shadows of things that only may be?
Look, Ebenezer.
Yes, I will. But give me some hope, Jacob. I know men's courses will foreshadow certain ends, to which, if persevered in, they must lead. But if the courses are departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me.
Look, Ebenezer. See the name.
The name there is
Ebenezer Scrooge.
My old name. No, 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 say it won't be so, Jacob. I don't want to be the man who lay on that bed unwatched, unwept, uncared for. Only give me the one remaining chance to reform. And reform I will. Give me the chance to atone, and atone I will. In the past, the present, and the future, I swear it, Jacob. You hear me? I swear it. Have mercy on me, Jacob. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
I must have been asleep. Yes, I was asleep. It was a dream.
Dream?
I just had my own chair in which I fell asleep. This is my own room. All a dream. This room's so dark, I must have light. Yes, that's it. Light. There's no fog outside, no mist, only golden sunlight, sweet fresh air, and merry bells. Glorious, glorious. I don't know what's come over me. Oh, save me, I feel as light as a feather, as merry as a schoolboy, as giddy as a drunken man. To think that I fell asleep last night, such a miserable old devil. And now today, what is today?
Hi there. You, boy.
You want me, mister?
Tell me, my fine fellow, what's today?
Today?
Why, it's Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day. Thank God for that. Christmas Day. I haven't missed it after all.
Missed it? What do you mean?
No, I mean more than you would ever understand, young fellow, me lad. Oh, Merry Christmas, Scrooge. A Merry Christmas to you, young man. Oh, bless me, a Merry Christmas to all the world. Oh, Jacob, Jacob, I thank you for your visit. Where would I be if you had not come? To think the time before me is all my own in which I can make amends.
Oh, yeah. Are you feeling all right, mister?
All right? As a young man, I feel on top of the world.
Oh, well, that's all right then. A Merry Christmas to you, mister.
No. Don't go, laddie. Do something for me, will you?
Oh, what is it?
Well, you know the poulterer's shop at the corner?
I should hope so.
Oh, intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. And you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
What, the one as big as me?
Oh, what a delightful boy, what a splendid fellow. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, my buck, yes, the one as big as you.
It's still hanging there, far as I know.
Excellent, then go and buy it.
Get out of it.
No, my dear young man, I'm in earnest. Here. There's a sovereign for it. Bring it back with you, and I'll give you a shilling. Bring it back in less than 5 minutes, and I'll make it half a crown.
Cool. I'll be off like a shot, sir.
Oh, admirable fellow. Oh, but before you go, you see that portly gentleman on the other side of the street?
Yes, sir.
Well, run after him like a good lad, and tell him Mr. Scrooge you'd like to have a word with him. Tell him to walk straight in. The doors are all unlocked. Oh, I forgot to lock the confounded things last night. The first time of my life.
I'll tell him, sir.
You're a good lad, good lad. Oh, and give that jolly turkey to Bob Cratchit and start my new life by making them all happy. May God be thanked for the reformation that shall now begin for Ebenezer Scrooge. Yes. No. Let's see now. My checkbook. And to think that only yesterday, as I walked through the city streets, people would say, you see who that is? That's Ebenezer Scrooge. Wicked old miser. And now, with God's help and strength, they shall say, you see who that is? That's Ebenezer Scrooge, the benevolent and good, the friend of widows and orphans. My word, they shall. They shall indeed. Come in. Come straight in.
I understand you wish to see me, sir.
Yes, I do. Come in, my dear sir. Pleasure to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
Why, Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
Thank you, my friend. My apologies for the way I treated you last time you were in this room. If you will accept my apologies. And I also hope that you will have the goodness to accept this check for your worthy fund.
Oh, bless me. My dear Mr. Scrooge, such a large sum. Are you serious?
If you please, I will not allow you to accept a farthing less. There are a great many back payments included in it, I can assure you.
But, my dear sir, I don't know what to say.
Oh, don't say anything, please. Except that you'll come to see me again sometime.
Of course. Yes, most certainly I will.
Then I'm very much obliged to you. I thank you 50 times. God bless you.
May he bless you, Mr. Scrooge, for your great kindness. Goodbye, sir, and a Merry Christmas.
Here we are, sir. Here's a turkey.
Oh, excellent fellow. Oh, magnificent bird. 25 pounds if it's an ounce. Even bigger than I first thought. And that deserves nothing less than 5 shillings for you.
5? Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Ha ha! Merry Christmas, sir.
And to you, my lad. Ha ha! What do I see coming through the window? Nothing other than Bob Cratchit. And 10 minutes late, no less. Oh, the very thing I wanted. Work. Now, I must be at work when he gets in.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm very sorry.
Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by being late?
Well, I'm extremely sorry, Mr. Scrooge. I'm afraid I am a little behind my time.
10 minutes behind, to be exact.
Yes, sir, but it won't occur again, sir, I promise. You see, I was helping my wife prepare the goose for dinner.
The devil you were! Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, you have to take what's coming to you. Pick up that parcel on the table. Pick it up.
Yes, sir.
It's a heavenly aim.
Well, yes, it is, sir, but I don't understand what you mean.
I mean it's yours, Bob. Turkey, that's what it is, a magnificent turkey. And furthermore, I'm going to raise your salary, Bob. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mr. Scrooge, you're not well.
Well, I've never felt better in my life. Merry Christmas, Bob, my friend. A merrier Christmas than I've ever given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary, and I'll... Oh, by the way, how's your son, Tim?
Quite well, thank you, sir.
Thank heaven for that. We must all see that he stays that way, and he shall. Oh, yes, he shall. Now, off you go.
Joe, where to, sir?
Home to your family, of course. It's Christmas Day.
What about the invoice, sir?
Oh, to the devil with that. It's Christmas Day, I say so. So off with you, as fast as your legs can carry you.
Mr. Scrooge. Oh, Mr. Scrooge, may I shake your hand, sir?
Thank you, Bob. It's a great honor for me to have you wish to shake my hand. Now, go home and enjoy yourself.
Oh, I will, sir. Would you come with me? I mean, we'd be so happy to have you share our Christmas dinner with us.
Next year, Bob. No, this year I'm going to my nephew's. If I'm still welcome there.
You will be, sir.
Yes, Freddy's a good lad. Yes, I suppose I will be.
Of course. Oh, Mr. Scrooge, I've never been so happy in my life. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you, Bob. The same to you with all my heart. And may God bless us, everyone.
So ends our Caltex play, Scrooge the Miser. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. Scrooge the Miser is a stage play adapted by Eric Jones Evans from the novel by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Tonight's radio adaptation was by John Crane. In the starring role, you heard...
I played Ebenezer Scrooge.
This was John Alden. The supporting cast was as follows. Marley, John Gray. Bob Cratchit, Stuart Ginn. The gentleman, Hugh Stewart, Mrs. Dilber, Diana Perryman, Mrs. Cratchit, Neva Carglin, Martha, Jeanette Craig, Fred, Neil Fitzpatrick, Tiny Tim, and the little boy, Nyree Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, inviting you to be listening for another outstanding Caltex Theatre presentation next week, and bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.